How the estate of Michael Jackson's been earning a fortune 5 years on. From APM in Los Angeles today, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and economics. Before we get to that business of entertainment story, to Europe, General Electric's push to buy turbine and train maker Alstom of France has been like a soccer game played over a month's time. One person kicks, 2 days later the goalie responds. Mitsubishi Heavy Industries of Japan and Siemens of Germany were also out on the field. But today, it looks like the game will go to GE of the U.S. after the French government agreed to buy a stake in Alstom. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker is following this. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, David.
It looks like the French government wants to keep a hand in Alstom.
They certainly do, don't they, in a big way. The French government is going to be acquiring from a French conglomerate, Bouygues, a 20% stake in Alstom, which is relevant to those bits of the business that are going to take the form of a joint venture between Alstom and GE. So yes, there will be very much a large French government stake in that. And in particular, the French state is going to be the biggest single shareholder in the Alstom part of those joint ventures.
The French government is very interested in preserving French jobs, certainly, but also the type of work that Alstom does is seen as almost a national security asset.
Yes, indeed. Part of this is about the technology, the nuclear technology that's used in French nuclear plant. And yes, the French government does regard that as of some very substantial strategic importance. But yes, as you say, they also care very much about jobs. And one of the things that GE is going to have to do is preside over an increase of 1,000 jobs in France over the course of the next 3 years. And if they don't, they could face some financial penalties.
So that was the promise. GE says 1,000 more.
That appears to be the case, yes.
The BBC's Andrew Walker in London. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, David.
Marketplace Morning Report is a nonprofit, listener-supported service. A gift from you, yes, you, if you can, in any amount, helps the Marketplace crew keep telling the money stories behind the news of the day. Help us end the budget year in a strong position by making a gift at marketplace.org by June 30th, if you could. The list is long and poignant of artists who got little recognition during their lifetime, and it was only after death that the world figured them out. Thoreau, Kafka, Vincent van Gogh, for starters. But there is another pattern, Michael Jackson, superstar in his own time, and it turns out a huge generator of profits after he passed away 5 years ago this week. Zach O'Malley-Greenberg is a senior editor at Forbes, whose new book is called Michael Jackson Incorporated. Zach, good morning.
Thank you for having me on.
So tell me the story, just to get a flavor of this. Michael Jackson and Michael Jackson's people are negotiating for the Beatles catalog. It's a pretty intense negotiation, isn't it?
Oh, indeed. It went on for the better part of a year, and that was Michael's idea. He really wanted to do it. But all the other advisors basically said, you're crazy, you know, if you want to spend over $40 million for this.
It's just so expensive, Michael. Why are you buying this?
Why would you do that? And, you know, Michael kind of nodded, and, you know, he had his sunglasses on like usual, and so people couldn't quite tell exactly what he was thinking. And then very quietly, he reaches over, he grabs a sheet of paper, he says, let's not negotiate, and then he writes in all caps, this is my catalog.
And so they end up paying like $47 million
for
the Beatles music.
Million, yeah.
Some people think that's really stupid. In the end, what do we know about that acquisition?
Well, we know that today that investment is worth about $1 billion.
All right. Now, Michael Jackson, Inc. is not just the Beatles acquisition, for sure. At the center of this is an amazing performer with an amazing sense of how to put together the top-selling album of all time.
That's, you know, that's Michael Jackson's best business move, right? Thriller. You know, what's better than putting out an album that sells over 100 million copies? But he wanted to top Thriller with every successive record. And when it didn't quite sell as much, or when it, you know, didn't get quite the acclaim, it just drove him to spend more and more time and money on the next one and wait longer and longer in between. And I think that that really put a strain on his finances.
Now, Zach, you don't compare yourself to Michael Jackson. Who could? But for the record, you yourself were a child star for a moment?
In the early 90s, I acted in a film called Lorenzo's Oil, and I played the title role alongside Susan Sarandon and Nick Nolte. Obviously, it's nothing like being Michael Jackson. There was one thing that happened to me that kind of made me really have just an iota of a sense of what it might have been like to be him. And that was when I was 6 years old. I was on the set, and these two girls came up to me, and they were a year older than me. They asked for my autograph, and I thought, what is it about being in a movie that makes, you know, other people my age want to have my autograph? I'm not a baseball player. That doesn't make sense. There's something about it, something about, you know, even a shred of celebrity that can make people view you like an alien or something like that. And from the age of reason, basically, his entire life, Michael Jackson was one of the most famous people in the world. And I think that pretty much everyone he met treated him like an alien. I can only imagine the kind of effect that must have had on him.
Zach O'Malley-Greenberg is a senior editor at Forbes. The new book is called Michael Jackson, Inc., The Rise, Fall, and Rebirth of a Billion-Dollar Empire. Zach, thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
And now the Wall Street trader who is suing his former employer, Goldman Sachs, because he only got a bonus of $8.25 million instead of the $13 million he claims he was led to believe. Bloomberg News reports 35-year-old Deeb Salem claims he even told his mother he was expecting 13 after apparently his mortgage trading desk earned $7 billion for the bank. Salem's bonus was downgraded after the employer dinged him in a performance review. In Los Angeles today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.